Luke chapter 2. Pam, is there anything I need to know? Okay. Luke chapter 2. And again, I apologize for the communion misunderstanding. We are having communion on Wednesday night, so maybe that's how I got things shuffled. It's me, so I'll take the blame. Luke chapter 2, title of the message today is, What a Gift. What a Gift. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read the Christmas story from Luke's account, beginning in verse number 1. Follow with me if you have your Bibles. It's good to have your Bible. It's good to get your eyes on it, okay? It really is. I know I use my phone a lot regarding my study. In fact, I need it. Hold on to this for a second because I used a verse of scripture out of here, so I'm going to pull that up. But go ahead and put them on silent again if you haven't done that. We don't want you to have yours go off in the middle of the service. So, okay. But it's good to put your eyes on it. Remember, I'm not the one making this up. The Lord said it. And when we look at the scriptures in just a moment, you're going to see some things in the Word that's written. God's not going to change it for anybody. It's there. You need to get your eyes on it. It's one thing to see it up in print here, and on your phones, that's great, and that is convenient, and I get it. I use mine too, but it's also good to have a physical Bible, okay? Because it's a lot, I don't know, there's something about that. You say, well, that's old school. Yeah, it's really old school, but it's really okay. And you can easily write in your Bible, circle things, and there's something about when you have it in your hand and you look at it, it's important. So please follow with me. Verse number 1, Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Verse 10, And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Father, we thank you for the word today. We thank you for the word that we are about to partake of in this service today. We give you the glory, the praise, the honor. Sir, have your way. We don't want to be in the way. We want you to have your way. And so I thank you for ministering in the hearts of the people, both here and those online, in the name of Jesus. If y'all can agree, please say amen. Amen. Okay, please turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I love the Christmas story. I really do. Christmas is a special time of year. It's marked by the giving of gifts. The giving of gifts. Where do you suppose that gift-giving idea came from? I think the Lord made that up. Amen? I don't mean made it up to fool us. I mean he's the one who originated it. John chapter 3, everybody in here knows the verse of Scripture that says that God gave something. Amen? Verse 16, it reads this way, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, you and I could never have received Christ as our Savior unless he had first been given, okay? You can't receive a gift unless the gift is given, amen? I mean, it's pretty simple. Now, you know, Christmas is a time when if you're not careful, you'll think about just a baby in the manger and everybody gathering around and the nativity scenes, which are great. I love them. I love this one. I think that's wonderful. And we praise the Lord for that. But there's much more to Christmas than thinking about a baby. He's not a baby anymore. He was born of a virgin. Yes, he was. It was immaculate. It was supernatural. But he is no longer a baby. In fact, and we know this too, Jesus was not born in December. But all of that said, it doesn't take from the fact that he was born in the earth. He was born of a virgin. That does not happen in the natural. Can I hear an amen? It just doesn't. It does not happen. Virgins do not conceive and bear a child. When Mary conceived, she conceived from on high. And, you know, I was reading the other day, Jesus was from the beginning. You realize that. He was from the beginning. He was not manifested into being in the manger at Bethlehem. He was from the foundation of the world. He was there at creation. Let us make man in our image. Us. Who's the us? The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But you remember what the Word said that, and it's in the book of Hebrews, I want to say, you'll have to go, you could find it, that you have prepared a body for me, or prepared a body for him, the Scripture reads. Y'all remember that? Come on, it's there. It's there in the Word. Thou hast prepared a body. You can look that up and you'll find it. In fact, let's have somebody, just one person. Now we'll have 20 looking that up, okay? Because I did not write the reference because I had not planned on going there. But a body was prepared for him. So he was from the beginning, and he had to go from where he was in heaven as a fully grown Jesus. Think about it. And be compacted down into the womb of a human being. I'm telling you, that's supernatural. A lot of us have not thought about that, but that he was already in existence. Jehovah is a word in Hebrew that is both masculine and feminine. And when the Lord, the Father, decided that this was how it was going to play out, the seed and the egg from on high, not Mary's egg, the egg from on high, masculine and feminine, Jehovah, masculine and feminine. Remember, El Shaddai, the Almighty God, that's the breasty one. The God who nourishes his children as a woman feeds her child from her breast. So when the egg and the seed were implanted into Mary's womb and she said, "Be it done unto me," that was completely God in her flesh. Some have thought, well, it was Mary's egg. No, hold it a minute. God placed all that into her. So what came of her loins was completely from heaven, with no part of her in it. That's important. That is very important. How did God do that? I don't know. There's a time and a place for pondering. That's one you can ponder a long time, and you're going to come to the conclusion that it was miraculous. It was immaculate. It was supernatural and beyond your intellect, so forget it. There comes a time you have to just say, I can't get this with my head. And there's some things you have to just believe. Well, it's pretty stupid if you believe something that you can't explain. Let's just analyze that a minute. You know, think about the things that you can't explain. There are some things that have happened in your life that you can't explain. Did they not happen? Like the time Pastor John and I and my mom and dad were up here, we had picked that up from the office when he worked at Mercury Marine. And the light turned green and we looked and Pastor John began to pull out and suddenly there was a car, none of us saw it. This lady barreling down the road, she was not going to stop for that light. You know what I'm talking about at Mercury Drive right there? That light out there by where Mercury was? We were going to turn and looked and we could see the lady's eyes. She was that close to us. Next thing we know, we're down the road. How did that happen? I don't know, but trust me, it did. And she was down the road and I told you the story. We turned around and caught her. She thought we were really mad. We were not real happy at the instant that this lady almost killed us. But then we realized something supernatural happened because there's no way in the natural she should have missed us. It was like 55 miles an hour from here to Marvin. And next thing you know, we're down the road. It's like a time warp happened. How do you explain that? Can't. That's about the best I can do. And based on the TV shows that you've seen about time warps, well, then you can understand. But the fact is, it happened, and there were four of us that witnessed it. How do you explain laying hands on somebody that has a broken leg, and the leg heals instantly, and they take their cast off, or an arm that was broken that we saw healed instantly, and the woman was healed? How do you explain that? Well, it can't happen that way, but it did. So now we come to the place of miracles, right? And Mary conceiving from on high, that was miraculous. The blood of the child and the blood of the mama never mingle. When a child is in the womb, it does, you know, the blood doesn't mingle. So when Jesus was born, he was born with blood from on high. He was the blood of God. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Corey. Let me look. That's better than, hey, Pastor Dan. Let me see. He found me the verse. Oh, yeah, okay. I see it. 10:5-6. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Thank you. That's pretty neat. A body was prepared for him. Because he was from the beginning, long before he was manifested in a manger in Bethlehem. Supernatural. Let's talk about this thing for just a moment. Go to John chapter 4. You're right next door. Look at verse 10. So we just read that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Verse 10 of John 4. This is dealing with the woman at the well. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, underline that, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. Who is the gift of God? Come on, say it. Jesus is the gift of God. Jesus has living water. Amen. Jesus has the peace that goes beyond our understanding. He is the prince, the source of all peace. He is the one that brings joy unspeakable, and it's full of glory in our lives. Every good thing that you and I enjoy, we can attribute back to the Lord. He's good. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 15, it's a very short verse, but it says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The Amplified Version just reads, for his gift, and then goes on. But the gift of God was Jesus Christ. We thank the Father for this gift that he gave to us. The greatest gift, get this, the greatest gift that has ever been given to man has been given to us. Do you understand that the greatest gift that could ever be given, you can think about gifts. You could just run the gamut in your thoughts right now about a really nice gift for Christmas. Fort Knox, you know, some cash, or a new home, or this, or that, or the other. Whatever it is, you could just think of all these really expensive gifts that could be given. And then think about the gift that you and I have been given in the person of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. The Lord is not a fool. And the Lord paid a heavy, heavy price in the giving of the gift to you and I. He paid the most expensive price that could have ever been paid to redeem us. What was that price? The blood of God. When Jesus shed his blood, there's nothing more valuable than the blood of God. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And it's important to realize that is the most expensive, exquisite gift in the history of mankind. God didn't give the equivalent to trillions, if you will. That doesn't even put a, you can't put a number on the blood of God, but let's just, for the sake of example, God didn't pay trillions of dollars to redeem somebody who's worthless. You think about that the next time the devil comes to you and says, you're nothing but a good-for-nothing piece of garbage. Look what you did. Look how you act. Look how you behave yourself. You are no good. You deserve nothing but a lump of coal in your bag. Who's getting a bag this year? I don't know. I hope I get a bag of candy. Actually got one yesterday. Had to repent after you guys left. I ate a few. They were supposed to be for Ann, but somebody stepped in and interceded. You better get rid of those quickly. Man, those are good. But next time the devil comes at you and says you're good for nothing, you're worthless, you just remind him. After you stop laughing, you remind him of the ridiculous price that's been paid for you and how much God thought of you to bring a gift like this to you and I. You are worth a whole lot to the Lord. In fact, your value in his eyes goes beyond what dollars and cents can add up to. Silver and gold couldn't redeem you, could it? Doesn't the Bible say that? You were not redeemed with these things of silver, gold, or precious stone. You weren't redeemed with any of that. It took the blood of Jesus to redeem you. So when we're talking about a gift at Christmas time, we're talking about a gift that God gave. Oh my goodness, you are the apple of his eye. You see. So when we talk about this greatest gift that's ever been given, was given to me and to you. Can't you just hear? You remember in the book of Psalms, it's chapter 8, verse number 4. What is man? Who did you give this gift to? What is man that you are so mindful of him? I look at him. He doesn't look like he's all that great. I've seen these people. Remember, the psalmist is writing that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But what is man that you are mindful of him? That you have done what you've done for him and through him? Very interesting. So our wonderful future is made possible, all of it, that you and I will have in heaven one day. We have loved ones that are in heaven right now rejoicing, just seeing things that we read of, things we haven't even read of, that are experiencing the glory of God in such a wonderful fashion. I mean, my goodness, all of that has been made possible because a gift was given. A gift was given. Jesus Christ is the gift. Back up to chapter 3 quickly in verse 27. Now, this is John speaking. And John answered here, the Baptist, you remember? And here he makes a statement. I want you to read the statement in verse 27. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You know, people were looking at this guy. He looked like, you know, crazy man eating locusts and eating this, that, and the other out there with probably very unshaven. What's very unshaven? Had a thick beard. You know, and he's out there crying. He's ticking some people off with what he's saying. And he makes a statement that a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. That's key for you and I. You cannot receive unless, you can't receive a gift unless it's first given. We're celebrating the giving of the gift at the birth of Jesus Christ. But then secondly, remember this. It's a free grace gift, and you can take no credit for what has been accomplished through that free grace gift. You didn't earn it. You can't earn it. That's good news. But this was all given to you and I. Amen to that. That's wonderful. Everything's paid for. We did a message a few weeks back called It's Paid For or It's Finished. I forget what exactly I titled that, but it has been paid for. And then you begin to read the prayers that Paul prayed in the epistles. Remember this, the prayers in the epistles, in fact, the epistles themselves are written to correct the church. Because the church was into so much error. The church said things and got into things. They were still thinking it was okay to do and practice some of the things that they were practicing and doing. And Paul had to come in and correct each one of them. And you can go into the epistles and read it. They were throwing bread at the communion table. Could you see that here? People taking a piece of matzah, boom, flinging it across the room, right in the head. Well, this is the kind of stuff that was going on. And he had to say, you got to stop doing this. They were using alcoholic wine and getting drunk. So he had to correct it. They were still worshiping idols in certain places. They were still doing things that they did when they were pagans. And so the epistles were corrective. But as you read Paul's prayers, Paul is talking about things like in Ephesians chapter 1, where he said he prayed that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know what is the hope and the calling, and what has basically been done for them at the cross. So the gift was given. We're celebrating that today. If the gift is received, then it's important to understand that there are things that are already done. And when Jesus said, it is finished, kala or kula, that meant complete, nothing more to do, guys. Nothing more to do. Underline that, nothing more to do. He said that at the cross right as he died. It is finished, and he gave up the ghost. Now, all sorts of stuff's written about what happened between there and the throne and all that. None of it's Hebraic. But the fact is, it was done at the shedding of his blood. And so we enjoy the privileges that are granted. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And I am going to read this from the Good News Translation. Romans chapter 15, not the whole chapter, just verse 15 and 16. I just said to you, it's a privilege. It's a wonderful privilege to be able to receive this gift. You know, there are those that are rejecting the gift even this day. Have you ever wanted to give something to somebody and they go, oh, no. Anybody in here? Raise your hand if you ever tried to give somebody something and they wouldn't take it. Ever tried to give somebody some money and they go, oh, that's too much. Oh, yeah, act all humble and all pious. Oh, that's just too much. And they got this fight going on because they're saying it with their mouth, but man, they don't believe it right here. Oh, that's just, oh, will you please, I'll say this kindly, be quiet, receive it. Will you take it? Yeah, I understand it can be humbling when somebody gives you something and you're going, how in the world? Whoa, that's happened to me before. And I've learned, you know, if I turn down a gift that somebody wants to give, I am not only insulting them that they never heard from God. You didn't hear from God. That's way too much. Or that's too nice of an item. Not only do I insult them, but I also hurt them because as they obey God, there's a seed that they're planting that the Lord has a plan for something much bigger than what they just sowed. And by you rejecting it, you cut it off. So you're going, you don't hear from God, and I don't want you to have any other blessing that the Lord intends for you to have. So no, I will not receive it. Now, you would never say that, but that's exactly what you do. But how many people are rejecting the gift of God today? They're going about their life. They're just wasting away their life, chasing things, chasing this, chasing that, chasing, you know, a wealth, chasing a person, chasing a future with this company, or chasing this, chasing that, chasing a dream about this, or and all the while rejecting the gift that's before them that is the most priceless gift anybody's ever been given. You can't put a value on it. Remember, the shortest thing you and I are ever going to do is live the life that we live. Amen. I don't care if you live 120 years. It's the shortest thing you'll ever do by a wide margin. John, what does the word say? It says that your life is what? It's a vapor. I think the Greek translates a mist. You know, you sneeze. Achoo! Okay. All right. I couldn't think of anything at the moment. Okay. But it's just a mist. And it goes about 30 feet. Okay. Let's back up. Rewind the tape. All right. You got a little bottle here, a little mister, and you spray it. How's that? And that's better. Yeah. And then it's gone. You can't find it. Where'd it go? Oh, if you're close enough to a surface, you'll see the droplets, but that'll dry and it'll disappear too. Your life is nothing but a mist. And yet people chase this life like it's all there is. It's not all there is. It's not all there is. It's that simple. Got a great future, all because of the gift. Romans 15, verse 15, in the Good News Translation reads this way, but in this letter I have been quite bold about certain subjects of which I have reminded you. I have been bold because of the privilege God has given to me of being a servant of Christ Jesus to work for the Gentiles. It's a privilege. I serve like a priest, this is verse 16, in preaching the good news from God in order that the Gentiles may be an offering acceptable to God, dedicated to him by the Holy Spirit. It's a privilege. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says that any man who is in Christ is a new creation or a new creature. Why is that? In fact, turn over there. Let's go over there. I want to read a little bit of that. He's a new or she's a new creature because of the gift. Amen? You're a new creation. You became a new creation because of the gift. Verse 18, And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. It's always interesting to me when believers start getting a little bit of word into their life and they start realizing some of the things that are theirs as Christians, that they'll say, I think I have a call on my life. Well, I've got news for you. You do. Every one of you do. You're not necessarily called to stand behind a pulpit, but you are called to the ministry of reconciliation. And if you've received the gift, it's a wonderful, wonderful privilege to be able to facilitate, as a one who has received the gift, be a facilitator of seeing to it that other people receive the gift. A gift-receiving facilitator. That's what you are. That's what I am. As a new creation in Christ, a verse goes on and talks about us being called as ambassadors in verse 20. You see that? Come on, y'all with me? You ready to go home?
Ready to go home. Yeah.
Don't care. We're staying for the moment. Okay. Come on. Gift. A gift-receiving facilitator. Who in here today is a gift, having received the gift, a gift-receiving facilitator? Who is it? If you're not, you're not saved. You've received the gift. What is a facilitator? Here's a simple definition for a facilitator. A facilitator, and I wrote this down because a facilitator, sometimes people go, well, what in the world is a facilitator? Let me see, I wrote it down, where did I put it? If to facilitate is to make easier or less difficult. Are you making it easy for people to receive the gift? If you were a clerk in a really nice store, y'all walk in there and the clerk comes up, and some stores they're like, you know, they're real high pressure. I hate that. I don't know about you, but I don't like high pressure clerks. It's not that I have anything against them. I just don't like their technique. But come up in like a certain furniture store in Oklahoma City, and you go in there and they follow you around. You turn around, you look, yep, he's behind the chair back there, Ann. You see him right there? And it's a big store, and the problem is they all work on commission. Now, we're called to the Great Commission, okay? But as a gift-receiving facilitator, you and I are to handle it this way. We need to help people get to the place where they receive. Help people so they can receive the gift too. What gift have you been given? The gift of Jesus Christ. Man, we've received God's gift. Our calling is to be this ambassador, this one who has received the gift, be a facilitator to help other people receive the same gift. Did you know that there's a gift waiting for you? That's the way you approach people. You can approach people. Did you receive the gift? You know, Christmas time we talk about gifts all the time, but God gave the greatest gift ever. But one of the biggest problems is Christians are not all that excited about the gift that they've received. Ho-hum. Another time of hearing a message, but I've got my life to live. It's only a vapor. The days are numbered. Our days are numbered. They are. Here, not in eternity. Eternity is forever. But your days have an end here. Every one of us. You know, every time I've done a service for a person, there's a birth year, a date and a year, and then a go-home date and year. Beginning and an ending here in the earth. But as we just said, it's a vapor here. And so that is just the shortest thing we'll ever do. We'll spend eternity in heaven. Heaven's a good place. Jesus is there. Amen? The Holy Spirit is there. Oh, yes, he lives in our heart, but he's there too. The Father God is there. The saints of old are there. It's going to be a grand reunion one day when we're all together. Amen. But too many Christians are not excited enough about the gift that they have received. So let me ask you the question, have you received your gift? Have you received your gift? You mean somebody left me an inheritance? Oh, yeah. Somebody died and left you a huge inheritance. You mean I'm rich? Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know about all that rich stuff. A gift can only be enjoyed once it's received. Amen. So don't reject what God wants to give to you. You put way too much stock in the things of the earth. And, you know, $1,000 will seem like a way over the top of a gift to give to you. In the eyes of God, $1,000? Not that it's a bad thing, but come on. How much money does God have? Let's calculate it. His riches are unsearchable, the Bible says. So look at verse 1 of chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. We then, as workers, together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Now, who's a worker in here? You and I are called to be these ambassadors, these gift-receiving facilitators that are assisting people in receiving their gift. The gift has been given, the greatest gift imaginable. And you and I are to take our place to help others receive the gift as well. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. It's a wonderful time to celebrate that God gave a wonderful gift. And praise God, the vast majority of us have unwrapped it. Amen? We've unwrapped that gift and received him into our heart and are enjoying the privileges of being one who has received that gift. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Go ahead, stand to your feet. Father, we thank you and praise you this day for the gift. We thank you for what you have done in sending us Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. Thank you for it. We'll rejoice this day that the gift has been sown, the gift has been given, and the gift has been received. And we will walk in those covenant rights that we have as believers today. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. And amen. So you've received the gift. Raise your hand if you've received the gift of God's Son. Okay, that's pretty good, isn't it? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap for his gift. For his gift.